Wooing our way into the weekend. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Speaking of, the Nature Boy got married last night.
What?
Yeah, he got married on a Woo Wednesday.
Hasn't he always been married? I thought he was married.
No, this is like marriage number five for him, I think.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, he's...
Another reason to look up to the man, I suppose.
Oh, come on. He's trying to fix something. He actually married one of his...
Trying to fix something. He should have done that five times
ago. Well, sometimes it takes you a couple tries.
I suppose, yes.
Yeah. But the Nature Boy got married for the fifth time.
Going for a baker's dozen here?
At his age, I'd like to think he's probably done after this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
He's almost 70.
Oh,
man.
He can probably get another one.
Are there?
The guy should be dead by now, according to the documentary I saw.
Yeah. Well, are there? I can't. There's got to be a number out there. How many folks get married in their 70s? It's got to be a very small number.
Some people do, though. Yeah. But I mean, you can get married anytime.
Yeah, it's true. But that just seems like something you wouldn't do when you get that old.
Probably a lot of remarriages, and you lose somebody. You know that whole.
All right. Fair enough. Well, speaking of the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. We've got a guy on the line right now who has been deemed by many to be a limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing son of a gun. He is Sean Dunnigan of WBNS TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my friend? See?
I'm doing all right, guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, an explosive entrance like that, we've got to get right into it here. A 52-3 win for the Buckeyes over Rutgers last week. As you're breaking that game down, Dunny, who was more impressive, the Ohio State offense or the Ohio State defense?
Well, I mean, you look at Dwayne Haskins and the job he did. He only had three incompletions on the entire day. Tate Martell, who came in mainly in the second half, he didn't have a drop. He didn't have an incompletion. He was 10-10, named co-offensive player of the Big Ten for freshmen. They both played outstanding. But I think the defense is what you have to look at and go, oh, my goodness. Because you look at the defensive line, and obviously you're going to have Nick Bosa, and you're going to have Chase Young and Draymond Jones, who's going to take all the headlines. But the way Robert B.B. Landers played, number 67, defensive tackle, he was just a run stopper. They could not get anything going up the middle because he was right there waiting for Blackshear or whoever else was running the ball. He was ready to just waiting with open arms to come at me, please, I beg you.
Dunny, as you break that game down too, I mean, a lot was made of the impact of Jordan Fuller and his return last week and just how impactful that was to the Ohio State defense. Give us an idea as to what you thought about his impact. He, of course, didn't play week one, but his presence was felt in that week two win over Rutgers.
Absolutely. I think he brings experience and leadership to that defensive secondary that nobody else really can right now for Ohio State. He's able to make calls as kind of the quarterback of the defense when he needs to. And when he's able to do that, and you're able to do that from the very back end of your defense, since they're really seeing everything, it makes a load of difference. And so when he's out on the field, whether it just be for a tackling sake or just experience of of having all these snaps of knowing what could come next, he's very crucial to have on the field for the Buckeyes.
You talked about that defensive line a little bit earlier. Do you think they're making their case against Clemson to have the best defensive line in the country? Because Clemson's a defensive line we're going to hear about all year long. You've got four hot shots along that front for the Clemson Tigers. But, you know, it sure sounds like Ohio State is making a very strong case to be right up there with Clemson.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at, again, I mentioned them earlier, but Nick Bosa, Chase Young, and Draymond Jones, they have eight sacks combined so far this year through two games. And their quarterback pressures and hurries and hits are even higher. So you look at just those three, and you don't even bring in the Jonathan Coopers, the Robert Landers, or anybody else on that defensive line that makes a difference when they need a breath. But Nick Bosa, he's only played the first half in the first two games. So I think, you know, this week is a TCU, a much bigger game. And I think you'll see what he can do in a full four-quarter game as well.
We're talking Ohio State football with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV down in Columbus. Dunny, you talked about the performance of Haskins a little bit earlier. Do you see his confidence growing week by week, even though these are inferior opponents that the Buckeyes have played the first 2 weeks? But, you know, just kind of hearing some things from him after practice and watching him play week by week, you get the sense that the confidence is beginning to grow with him?
Oh, it's not beginning to grow. It's already there. if he's had the confidence since he stepped foot on campus when he knew he'd be behind JT Barrett for a couple of years. I think he's always had that. I think the main difference is now he's able to show it and show it well and be able to take the command of this offense. He's right now, I would not be surprised if he wins on Saturday and he wins against Penn State at the end of the month, plus a Tulane victory. I would not be surprised if he's up there in the top two or three talked about for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, which is strange. I mean, boy, this time of year, too, I mean, you hear a lot of names thrown into that discussion, and that's kind of like the funneling effect, right? I mean,
absolutely, you know, the September Heisman, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the funneling effect there with every week that passes, somebody else seems to be taken out of that conversation. But you can't ignore what he's doing. You talked about this earlier, just the three incompletions in the win over Rutgers. I want to stick with Rutgers for just another second here. Do you hear a lot of people down there, you know, whether it be players, coaches, administrators, or just general fans in that area, talking about the whole Rutgers and the Big Ten deal? I mean, I don't know really who got off on this tangent, but there are some people after that win that were just out and out mad that Rutgers is still in the Big Ten when, well, you and I both know why they're there, right? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're not going to hear it from the administration. You're not going to hear it from anybody with Ohio State. But fans and other media members, yeah, it's Rutgers. I mean, 10 years from now, Rutgers more than likely is going to be the same football program they are now as they will be in 10 years, unless Greg Schiano leaves to go back there. That's, I think, the only way is that Rutgers will be significant again. But they are a conference opponent, and hey, it's a big conference win for the Buckeyes. They're now 1-0 in the conference and in the Big Ten East. So when you look at it from that point, I'm kind of happy they're there because it's kind of an easy victory.
Talking about the Big Ten East, John, hasn't been doing real well here over the last couple of weeks. Last week,
not
Michigan State got beat. Penn State went into overtime with Appalachian State there. Is there a feeling down in Columbus that, look, the Buckeyes are probably going to have to run the table here to get the acknowledgement they want?
Well, I think that, you know, the feeling is always to go undefeated and to run the table.
Sure.
I think that's always going to have to be the way to get into the college football playoffs, especially after last year winning the conference championship game and then not getting in. So I think, you know, everything's always going to be looked at is going undefeated and running the table to get in. But I think even more so now is a big deal because of what you said and Michigan State losing to Arizona State and to Penn State almost getting beat by App State, Michigan losing to Notre Dame pretty solidly. You know, it's nerve-wracking as somebody in the Big Ten East. But, again, if Ohio State goes undefeated and runs the table, there's no need for anybody to be worried.
Well, there may be some cause for concern this weekend. It's far and away Ohio State's toughest opponent to date might end up being their toughest opponent of the entire month, and that includes Penn State towards the end of the month, but that remains to be seen. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of this matchup here in just a second, but, you know, Dunny, I think what's really interesting about this weekend's matchup is that for a lot of these Ohio State Buckeyes, they're looking at this game as a little bit of a homecoming.
Absolutely. You got players like Jeffrey Okuda, J.K. Dobbins, Demetrius Knox. They're going home. They're playing in Texas. Their home state, this is, you know, a big reason why I think they went to Ohio State is for this game, for this homecoming. They get to play inside Jerry World, inside the state of Texas. All their friends and family will be there, showing up huge in front of 100,000 people in the state of Texas going, hey, and it's also a recruiting trip. It's, you know, they're looking at this, I think, as a way of saying, hey, kids from Texas that want to come to Ohio State, kids like Garrett Wilson, who's already committed to Ohio State, hey, tell all your friends that are football players down here in Texas. You'll get to play in the state of Texas every once in a while and show everybody why you came to Ohio State.
Well, the matchup kicks off at 8:00 on Saturday night. Dunny, what kinds of challenges do the Horned Frogs pose to the Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend?
Speed. What's that old saying? Speed kills. That's definitely the case here for the Horned Frogs of TCU, ranked 14th in the country. Their quarterback, Sean Robinson, is a very good dual threat quarterback. He can scramble, but as Ryan Day said, he scrambles more so to pass than the run. So the linebackers really have to keep an eye on him, and the DBs have to keep the coverage even when Robinson escapes the pocket, which he will because he's a good quarterback. When he escapes the pocket, he's going to be looking to throw first. So you have to be mindful of players going deep and design routes on a breakout in order to stop this TCU offense.
What about that TCU defense? I often think that Coach Patterson's defense gets overlooked all the time. I'm not quite sure why. But what are they saying about this TCU defense? Because that's a unit I think that could really cause some problems.
Absolutely. Coach Patterson's defense and also special teams. He does a great job at preparing his teams. And Coach Patterson has said, you know, this offense is a lot better than he thinks it was last year. And that's, I think, because of the deep threat that Dwayne Haskins has with his arm. But I think also because the receivers are that much older and better, and they have that threat to run. So I think in order to win this game and to keep that defense at bay, they have to run the ball. They have to bring J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber, get them going, get them turning out some yards, run some no huddle, just even for the run game, to keep that defense on their heels and then hit it with a play action pass or something along those lines. But I think in order to beat them, you have to run a no huddle and really take away their speed, which is their biggest strength on defense.
You guys talked about this just a minute or two ago. Because the Big Ten East has had some hiccups so far this season, you'd like to think that's a little bit of a wake-up call for Ohio State. And sure, if they lose, it would be considered an upset, but not a major upset like the other ones we've witnessed over the last few weeks here. So this is a really, really interesting matchup. Dunny, I know we're 48 hours out, but right now, if they told you you needed to make a prediction, who are you picking and by how much?
I say Buckeyes win it 38-24. I think they keep just around that number Vegas likes a little bit for this game, but I think it'll be. I think Ohio State will pull away in the end, but I don't think it'll be a blowout by any sort of the imagination. But I think the Buckeyes win 38-24.
All right, very good stuff. 38-24 says Dunny. Any big Columbus area high school football games going on tomorrow night?
Absolutely. Our Get Set Before You Bet game of the week is Pickerington North heading north up to Westerville Central in a big game. 3-0 versus 3-0. Both schools top 10 in the state of Ohio. So we need a great big matchup there for us on 1st and 10 on 10 TV tomorrow night.
Good stuff, Dunny. We appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week when the Buckeyes take on Tulane. That'll be a lot of fun.
We'll ride the green wave, won't we?
Indeed. Well done.
All righty, Dunny. Thanks, man.
Yeah, see ya.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us on the hotline. Great to talk to Dunny as always. And that's a really interesting game on Saturday. Secretly, I'm hoping that the Tribe wraps up the division to give us something else to celebrate down at Progressive Field. I'll be down there on Saturday to watch them take on the Tigers. But it could be a pretty interesting night against TCU. That's going to be a much tougher game, I think, than people realize.
We'll see. Originally, I thought the Buckeyes would kind of run through this one, but the more I kind of look at it and see what TCU's done in their first couple weeks, I do think they can give the Buckeyes a game. I think the Buckeyes have to be the favorite in it, but you're down in Texas. TCU's a little closer to home. They can put up some numbers against the Buckeyes. Plus, they've got a really solid defense that the Buckeyes aren't posting 70 in this game. Let's just put it that way.
I think you're 100% correct on that. All right, we're late for a break, approaching the top of the hour. That means we'll get to your money now. Matt Douglas chopping at the bit to deliver the local news to all of you. And we will begin our Champions of Education series brought to you by Nordson Corporation at 410. David Pritt, Director of Curriculum and Instruction at North Ridgeville, is going to join us. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
I used to post to job boards that sent me tons of resumes,
just to find a few people who were right for my job.
That old process was not smart.
Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology scans resumes for me to find the right people,
and actively invites them to apply, so I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.